1. I have died 3 times, and 3 times been reborn, though I am not yet 20 in the old earth years by which it is still the fashion to measure time. This is the story of my 3 deaths and my life between. My name is Khemri, though this is not the name my parents gave me. I do not know who my parents are and never will, for I was taken from them as a baby. This is one of the secrets the empire keeps well. No prince may ever know his or her parents or the world of their birth. Even trying to find out is forbidden, which just about sums up the paradox of being a prince. We have vast power and seemingly limitless authority, except when we try to exercise that power or authority beyond the bounds that have been set for us. It's still about 1,000,000 times better than being an ordinary imperial subject, mind you. It just isn't everything that I thought it was going to be when I was a child, a prince candidate being carefully raised in considerable ignorance in my remote temple. So I'm one of the 10 million princes who rule the empire, the largest political entity in recorded history or current knowledge. The empire extends across a vast swath of the galaxy, encompassing more than 17 million systems, tens of millions of inhabited worlds, and trillions of sentient subjects, most of them humans of old Earth stock. It is imperial policy that all these mostly planet-bound yokel types know as little as possible about the apparently godlike beings who rule them. Even our enemies, the alien Sad Eyes, the enigmatic Debtors, and the Naknuk rebels know more of us than our own people. The ordinary folk think we're immortal, which is natural enough when they typically have something like their grandfather's grandfather's grandmother's nice commemorative stereo sculpture of a good-looking young prince on the family mantelpiece, and then they see the same prince handing out Grower of the Month awards at the annual Harvest Festival or whatever. It would be the same prince, too, because while we're not actually immortal, if we get killed, we do mostly get reborn into an identical adult body. It's a technical difference, I guess. And it's only mostly reborn. Our enemies know that we do not always come back from the dead. To have died 3 times like me is no big deal for a prince of the empire. There are others who have died 9, 12, 20 times and still walk among our ranks. There are even princely societies where you have to have died a certain number of times to join, like the 9 death lifers. Bunch of idiots, if you ask me. All suicidal for 8 deaths and then super cautious afterward? Who'd want to join that society? Particularly since you never know if you are going to be reborn. It's up to the emperor, and every now and then a dead prince's name just vanishes from the lists without explanation. And if you're dumb enough to make inquiries, you meet a lot of blank-eyed priests who don't know anything, and a weird kind of absence of anything about that dead prince if you directly ask the imperial mind. But before I get into my whole life story and all, let me take you through the bare facts of my childhood. I am presuming you're not an imperial prince, which you'd better not be, or I'll have wasted all the careful preparations that are supposed to make this record detonate with a ridiculously large antimatter explosion if it is accessed by any kind of princely sensory augmentation. I guess not recording it in the first place would be more secure, but I have my reasons. So, I would have been close to 1 year old when I was taken from my parents. Though I have no recollection of my early life, it is likely that I was born on a typical imperial world of the outer quadrants, a planet once marginal for human life, but long since remade by the Trinity of Imperial Technology, the machines of Mech-Tech, the biological agents and life forms of Bi-Tech, and the wide-ranging and powerful mental forces of Psi-Tech. This is important, because if there's anything that makes the Empire what it has become, it is these 3 techs. Sure, the Sad Eyes have better Psi-Tech, but then we kick their parasitical little guts in with Mech-Tech and Bi-Tech. The Naknuks have taken Bi-Tech further than we have, so we do them in with Psi-Tech and Mech-Tech. The Debtors, It's a bit hard to know exactly what their primary tech is, since they always blow themselves up when they're beaten, but certainly the trinity of techs works against them as well. All imperial tech is managed and controlled by priests, who are divided into orders that worship different aspects of the emperor. They serve princes in all technical roles, but it's worth remembering that they also get orders directly from the imperial mind. Princes forget that sometimes, usually to their cost. Okay, where was I? Getting taken from my parents. Here we go. On a day like any other day, my parents would have had no knowledge that by nightfall their infant son would be gone forever. The first sign would have been a gathering darkness, a vast shadow too sharp-edged to be a cloud. Looking up, they would have seen an imperial battleship glide across their sky, an enormous, jagged flying mountain of rock dotted with structures built to the fashions and whims of the prince in command. Under the shadow of the ship, bright spots of light would suddenly spark, thousands and thousands of them, that a moment later would fall like brilliant rain. They would know then, I suppose, my parents of long ago. Imperial battleships do not drop thousands of Mechbai troopers on rural villages without reason. Sometimes I wonder what my parents did as the first wave of troopers descended, and the wasp ships launched as well, spiraling down to establish a perimeter to make sure no one tried to evade the opportunity of giving their children to the Empire. I suppose they did nothing, for nothing could be done. But unlike most other princes, I know something about ordinary children. I have seen parents and their children together when they are not awed or terrified by the presence of a prince. So I know that the bond between them is stronger than princes, who have no parents and are not allowed to have children, can imagine. So perhaps they tried to escape, desperation driving them to flee or hide. But with the perimeter established and search squads armed with advanced scanning tech, there could be no hope of evasion. My parents must have eventually joined the lines of people waiting for the troopers to check everyone against the census, while the priests of the aspect of the inquiring intelligence mentally investigated any anomalies. Maybe there was a sad-eye infiltrator lurking inside a host body, or a knack-nook spy, or some small domestic criminal or terrorist. But these would be rare excitements. Mostly, it would be routine. 11 minutes later, I wasn't so sure. Barely able to stay conscious, I had a terrible pain in my chest and guts, despite the symbiote's efforts. The acceleration gel around me was stained pink with blood from my nose and ears and who knows where else, and I couldn't tell if I still had any hands or feet since I couldn't feel anything below my elbows or knees. On the positive side, my Kragor single ship was streaking toward the enemy at incredible speed. Nulled space sensors had detected no launches toward me, and even better, one of Quarker's preliminary kinetic slivers had got through the Lysgrove screen and taken out one of the Leolech transports already. Analysis suggested that many of the bits and pieces trailing along in the funnel-shaped cloud where it had been were people, or bits of them. That transport and probably most of the others had been packed with ground troops. Many hands make light work of serious looting. If they got through, they would strip the habitat bare, taking all useful tech, and they would plunder the world beneath as well, stealing all the crops, livestock, and stores, thus sentencing everyone they didn't kill in the first place to a lingering death through starvation. My sci-tech was also working, though it took a supreme effort to focus, to rise above the pain and the terrible sensation of being crushed to death. But I had no problem reaching Quarker, and the single ship continued to answer to my mental controls. "Enemy launch," reported Quarker. Simultaneously, I ordered evasive action and discovered that in acceleration gel it is impossible to scream. I managed a mental one, though. A second later, we were struck by the passage envelope of a kinetic sliver. I knew it was only the envelope because I was still alive and the single ship was still sort of in one piece around me. But the drive had been damaged. Dozens of status reports flickered through my brain, all of them negative. I felt the pressure on my body lessen. We were still moving at an
Sample complete. Ready to continue?